Hello and welcome back to another Pastor's Vic Nugget of Truth. And this is a continuation of my last message, which is, you know, dealing with a series known as the Great Exchange, the exchange that took place at the cross of Calvary, what Jesus took and gave us in return. And we've been talking about the fact that God has given us through Jesus Christ, he's given us power for weakness. And the scripture that we really focused on last time was Acts 1:9. The birth of the Christian church. In Acts 1:9, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Now, the last time I discussed the word power and the phrase, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So I'd encourage you to go back to that if you haven't looked at it. That's post 84, and that's part one of this power for weakness in the Great Exchange. Today, we're going to continue on, and we're going to look at the word witness, that we're called to be witnesses to him. Now, the word witness simply means to be one who expresses what they have seen and what they have heard or what they have experienced. In other words, if someone has seen something and then they tell me about it and then I express what they experience, that's not being a witness. A witness means that you're the one who experienced it. In Luke chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples of John the Baptist, when John was in prison, he had sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one?" And this is Jesus' response. "Go and tell John the things you have seen, things that you have heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." You see, what Jesus was saying, I don't want you to tell them what you're hearing other people say, but I want you to tell John the Baptist the things that you have actually experienced, witnessed, seen, and heard. That's what God's calling us to do. That we would witness what we have experienced, what we have seen, what we've heard Jesus do in our lives. In Acts chapter 4, just another example, remember the Jewish leaders commanded Peter and John not to teach in the name of Jesus. They had performed the miracle and the crowds were following. And of course, they gave all the glory and all the credit to Jesus. And then in Acts 4, verse 19, Peter says, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." Then verse 20, he says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." A witness is one who speaks what he or she has personally heard or seen or experienced. And also to the boldness to speak out. That's what's really required. We need to be bold about what God is doing in our lives. To boldly speak as to what God has shown or done in us, that's what it means to be a witness to Jesus Christ. The other part of Acts 1:9, of course, is a statement that we're to go into Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, we need a little geography lesson here. You may recall that Israel was one single powerful kingdom under King David. But after King David's death, the kingdom was separated into two parts. The northern part retained the name Israel. The southern part was called Judah. And so it was what was known as the divided kingdom, two kingdoms in one area. Now, Jerusalem was the capital of Judah in the south, and Samaria was the capital of Israel in the north. Now, in Acts 1:9, we're told to go into Judea, and Judea is simply the Roman or Greek name for the word Judah. So Judea and Judah mean exactly the same thing. They're the southern part of Israel, or what was known as the nation of Israel. So when we read the phrase in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, it refers to everywhere that Jesus ministered to while on earth. The nation of the Hebrew people first. But the responsibility didn't end there, because Jesus also said to the ends of the earth. Aren't you thankful for that? I know I am. But if we extend this model to our circumstances, it means that we're responsible to represent Jesus Christ, to testify, to be a witness for Jesus in our villages, in our towns, our city, in our nation first, then to take the gospel, the message of the gospel, to the ends of the earth. That's an exciting challenge. And I think you would agree that the idea of being a witness to Jesus Christ requires boldness. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit can give you, boldness, a boldness to step out of yourself and be that witness for Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, I realize that there are some who will teach that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the apostles. And when they died off, so did the work of the Holy Spirit. Does that make any sense? How can we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is no longer available to us as believers? The scriptures clearly say in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, God does not change. We don't pick and choose what we're comfortable with from the scriptures. We don't pick and choose what we think is true and what is not true. We must embrace all of it. That's what faith is. Faith is embracing the unseen. To overcome this kind of negative thinking requires that kind of faith. Faith in the kingdom of God. You see, in the kingdom of God, if you don't believe, then it will not be possible. You get what you believe for. The opposite of faith is doubt, distrust, or denial. Faith is believing in the unseen. The key to unlocking what has already been provided for you by God's grace. Remember, faith doesn't create the supernatural event. Faith makes the supernatural event available and accessible for us. Keep in mind that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It says that in Isaiah. His ways are not our ways of doing things. And it was his idea that faith should unlock the gifts of heaven. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the assurance of things unseen. This means it's not about reason and figuring things out with our human logic. You see, to the natural mind, faith may seem foolish and unreasonable. But you're not putting your trust in logic, but you're putting your trust in the one who makes the promise, Jesus. Don't worry about how God will accomplish it. Rest in the confidence that he will achieve it. Now let me close with the words of the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest of the apostles of Christ. And I want to share this series of verses with you to be an encouragement to you. Because I know there are times that we feel weak. There are times when we feel that we're not capable. We feel that we don't have the ability or the talent or the gifting to do something for God. But let me assure you that even someone like the Apostle Paul felt exactly the same way. And he says in verse 2, he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not philosophy, not current wisdom, but simply the truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he goes on to say, I was with you in weakness, in fear and in much trembling. I know I felt that way. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. And here's the most important part. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want to encourage you this day. Walk by faith and not by sight. Believe what the scripture says about you. His Holy Spirit is available to you. First of all, the Holy Spirit lives in you already. And it's a matter of releasing what God has already given you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit simply means that you are committing yourself to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It may not seem logical, it may not seem reasonable, but you know that God is for you and not against you. His desire is that you would fulfill His will and be a blessing to others. And so I encourage you this week to just walk by faith. Believe that the Holy Spirit truly is the enabler and is the one who wants to enable you. As you release your faith in Him, He will show you great and wonderful things. God bless you till the next time. Amen.